Hey there, entertainers around the world. This is your host, Todd Mitchum. Welcome to Mitchum Interactive's Entertainer Lab podcast, where you can learn from industry experts, both inside the entertainment DJ and MC world, as well as outside of that world. Hey, we got another great show for you. This time, Rob Foray, international speaker, world-renowned game show host. He's worked halftime for the Utah Jazz. He's pivoted his entire career many times. An incredible guy, Rob Foray.
Hey, awesome. Excited to be here on your podcast here. So yeah. This is really cool because I love the idea of you going into even getting into our ears more. So that's awesome.
And we're calling this the Entertainer Lab because it's a way, the membership is like that too. It's a way for DJs and MCs and entertainers to really start to take what they do seriously and experiment and try new things, which is exactly why I wanted you to be a part of this, because I don't know many people that are as good at reinventing and experimenting and getting into the lab in their own life as you are. So I mean that wholeheartedly. That's why I wanted you to be here.
Well, thank you. And speaking of labs, I think what's really has helped me is I have spread myself throughout the DJ and entertainment industry in the sense of I have taken workshops from you, from Randy Bartlett, from Mark Farrell, from Peter Mary, not to forget Bill Herman. All these different amazing entertainers all have different takes, different perspectives, and different ways to approach the DJ business. But it's not just the DJ business. I am also taking workshops and coaching from different people in the speaking and entertainment world. And so I think if you're always constantly looking to expand your horizons and worldview, you're going to get more. And not a lot of people know this. And I've maybe told this to you, but I took your workshop, I believe it was in 2016. It was one of the most cathartic workshops that I ever took just because you were a healing force for me. I was at a crossroads where I was getting really frustrated with some of the people I was performing with. I would let people get under my skin.
Yeah.
And that's weird. And you were able to help me approach that in a different way, in the sense of I really made it about me. And I was thinking, these people are out to get me. Where you taught me, don't assume that they are there to mess up your event. Don't assume anything.
By the way, I wasn't going to bring this up because I wasn't going to call out this moment from that workshop.
Yes.
But now that you've talked about it, I feel like I have to talk about this.
You do. I'll get vulnerable.
Okay. And I've actually heard you talk about this story in a speech. I think it was at one of the Mobile Beats. But you told a story similar to this where maybe you should tell the story. I'm gonna screw it up. But basically you said you were at a wedding and someone came up to you like a bridesmaid or something and said something to you. And didn't you slam your computer and like walk away? And when you told that story, Rob, I was like, wait. Because back then you were like selfie guy. And you know, like I'm like, happy selfie guy? Wait, hold on. Rob, stop. And when you did it in the workshop, you went like, you literally looked at me and you're like, and so then I just went and you like slammed it and you go, and I just walked away. And I had never seen that because I'd only seen you from like conferences and like online. I'd never seen this anger in your face, but you were like, you know, and I was like, selfie, happy Rob. Like, I don't understand what just happened. So that was that cathartic moment. And then we started talking about why that's not personal and what that meant. And you really like then I saw you completely change your whole perspective. And by the way, big credit to you because so many people can't change. And the fact that you went, oh, that's an aha moment. This is not about me. And then you change. Right. I mean, you probably can tell that story better, but that moment I never forget it. I've never forgotten that moment. It's incredible.
Well, it was funny because, a lot of those people who were in that room that day are still good friends with me in the DJ industry. One lives here in Utah. His name is Paul Helms. Quain Toll was there.
I know Paul well.
Race. And all these guys were looking at me just like you, like, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you did that. But I think if we're not real with ourselves and real with what is happening, we will never grow. And I think, well, so just to give that short story is,
yeah, yeah, you got to tell that story.
She was the maid of honor. It was an older couple, probably in their 40s, second marriage. But she kept coming up to me and requesting songs. And I was placating her songs. It was a small group, 40, 50 people, backyard wedding, up in Park City, beautiful venue. Yeah. And then towards the very end, I'm playing the sing-alongs, the happy songs, getting people in circles. And I'm playing Sweet Caroline, right? And they're all swaying and singing. And she comes up to me and she says, "This song is crap." And that's when I took it personally. And I was like, "You, look at all these people. Are they dancing? You're the only one that's not dancing, right?" And then he says, "Turn it off." I'm like, "Okay." Slam the laptop. Yep.
By the way, I can just see people in the, like, there's 40, there's 39 other people going,
"Yes,
sweet. What just happened?" Like, what just happened? Da, 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 you know.
Music stops. Nuts. They look back at us arguing. They have no idea what's going on.
Oh, and Rob.
Ruined the night.
That's hilarious. That's the best story I've heard in a long time. And you know why it's such a great story, Rob? Because it's you being out of character. That's why it's such a great story. Because everyone in that room that day you told that story felt the same way. They were like, "Hold on a second. Selfie happy what? Rob? What?" Yeah. You're like, "Oh yeah." And all the anger of that day flowed right back into you. You were like, "Yeah." And and you were like breathing heavy. It was terrible. But what was great, again, like I said, to your credit, you took that, you listened to a new perspective, which, by the way, so many people don't know how to do today. You listened to a new perspective, and then you changed how you did things after that. And again, we're going to get into kind of what you're doing now, but it's incredible because that attitude you have, I see that. I have seen that in you as I watch you throughout this last few years, especially with COVID. You're just, it's like you have this spirit of growing and constantly attempting something else, you know? And I mean, I just think so many people lack that courage. And I would love to know where that comes from, Rob, because there's something, and you can talk about kind of what you're doing now, but there's something about you that you courageously keep pushing into the next thing, which I think is so great. So can you elaborate on where that comes from, or what, and maybe just talk about COVID as an example, because I watched you during COVID go from DJ and guy working to be a speaker and game show host person, definitely a professional, definitely skilled, to, okay, well, I don't want to spin on Twitch, so I'm going to pivot and do something different. And you did, and it was beautiful. Yeah. So maybe tell everybody about that, and then maybe where that comes from.
Yeah, so we'll go in the Wayback Machine. The Wayback Machine. This was second grade when I was in elementary school. And I can pinpoint the moment where I knew where that came from. And I was sitting in a ballet, Cinderella. It was one of those nights where, hey, elementary school goes to the ballet. And I'm sitting in the balcony, and there's two little boys holding the train of the queen as she walks in during the ballet. And I lean over to my friend and I say, "They are so lucky. I want to do that." Right? I thought in my head, I want to do that. One year later, I was on that stage in a ballet, which is crazy. And people like, "Rob Frey, ballet? I don't do it anymore. I'm not that good of a dancer." But
well, not publicly.
Right. And I was on that stage 1 year later as a third grader performing in the main stage of that theater in downtown Salt Lake City. But that is what has been my life. I see somebody do something, or I see a platform, I see a stage. I always call it different stages. So we have different stages as MCs and DJs. And I always look at them and I say, I want to do that. There was a moment where a lot of things changed for me. And I will tell you this, and you may not know this, it was at the Las Vegas DJ show in, I don't know, maybe 2011, 2012, I can't remember.
Okay.
And it was the first time I went to that particular show. You showed up on the last day, I believe, and you had this video introduction of, like, Todd Mitchum. You know, it was one of those videos where you had all your slides and videos.
It's called the ego intro.
The ego intro. And in that ego intro, you have the video of one of your probably pinnacle moments of your career. It was you doing the cheerleader in front of, was it Pizza Hut?
Oh, yeah, managers? Pizza Hut. Yeah.
And I watched that video and I said to myself, I want to do that. And I saw that video and I loved it so much. And ever since then, I have been inspired to do more corporate work because of that. That was the moment I said to myself, I want to do that. But you also taught us some things that day that really helped us be present in the moment as well. And I've also talked to that. And ever since then, I talk about that with DJs as well, because a lot of times we script things, we say things that we say all the time. And you challenged me during, we did a little mini workshop, like you gave me the opportunity to do a grand entrance. And you're like, no, don't do that.
I remember.
Forget what you just said. Just start talking to these people. And so I'm in the middle of this DJ conference in the aisle, and I say, you have all been hand chosen to be here today. And I was like,
wow,
where did that come from? Like, I just said it. And I was like, I'm using that.
Yeah. Everyone's taking notes, right? Yeah.
Right. But you challenged me just to be present in the moment, to forget what I have learned and just start talking to that audience. And then it came from the heart, which was really cool for me. And so throughout my life, I see people do things that I love. And then I connected with you afterwards and I said, I saw that you worked at Orlando at Universal Studios. You started the show that I performed in many years down the road at the Universal City Walk. And so it's really cool that I was able to kind of follow in your footsteps at that show at Universal City Walk as well.
That's so crazy. Yeah. So that started, when did you get to Universal? We've had this conversation before.
2004 is when I started working there, but I didn't start doing the show until 2006. And that's when they revised that show.
Yeah. And I had left in 99 is when I left, right after everything had opened. I went to LA.
Right. Years down the road. But back to COVID, really quickly.
I want to go back to that, because that's, again, your spirit of changing and morphing and trying. So take me back to that.
So one thing I do live by is not being the smartest person in the room, being surrounded by people who can mentor me, who are doing things that I want to do. And so two of those people are really good friends of mine, speakers, entertainers, Jason Hewlett. If you don't know who he is, look him up. Wonderful speaker, entertainer. He does the Promise Institute. And then my friend, Clint Pulver, drummer extraordinaire and fabulous speaker. I saw that they were leaning into the pandemic. They said, this is going to be longer than we expected. When Clint told me that, he's like, Rob, I don't think we're going to get back to events in a year. And he told me that in March of 2020. I was like, everybody was thinking this would be a 2-3 month thing, right?
Yep.
But when Clint told me that, he put the fear of God in me, right? And I'm like, I got to do this. And so I leaned in. He built a virtual studio. Same with Jason Hewlett. They both had these cool demo videos and they built this whole thing. And I said, Clint, who's your guy? And he said, Jordan Gibby. Jordan comes over, we build this virtual studio. But even before I built the virtual studio, I saw other DJs who were like, well, I need an outlet. I need to get out there. So I'm going to stream on Facebook or Twitch or whatever it was. And I said, that's not me. I need to get out into the community. So what I did is I did these social distancing dance parties around the state.
I
would go to neighborhoods and I would unpack my car and I'd start playing music and I'd do these dance block parties while everybody, I called it the doorstep DJ. Like, everybody stay on your lawns, stay on your doorstep. We're just going to party where you are. And then I also built the virtual studio. But I did a lot of these events for free. And we always think about, like, what's in it for me? Don't think about what's in it for me. What's in it for my audience? And so once I started learning my audience and learning what they wanted, that's what really helped. And I did probably 30 or 40 free virtual events, you know, before I really got into this. And now I have agents that are booking me on these different events. And that's what I've also found. That's the sweet spot, is getting with agencies and planners. Those are the people who will be your biggest champions other than your network. And one thing that I always try and do, we are self-promoters. You're a huge self-promoter. We have to put that out into the universe that this is what we do. And so people will tell other people, but we always have to do that. So I'm very intentional when it comes to my social media. I want people to see that Rob is doing this instead of like, oh, Rob's political beliefs are X and Y.
Right.
And I know a lot of people are very passionate about politics, but I don't want I want people to think about, what is Rob Ferret? What is he doing in his community? And yeah. So I leave a lot of that out. And so I just try and focus on what's important for my audience.
Yeah. And I see that in you. And I think it's something I try to do that as well, though sometimes I get caught in some of that, but I watch I watched you during COVID. It was hilarious, some of the things you did. I think what else you do, Rob, that's so great is that you are, and this is a lesson I think everyone needs to learn. You are fearless in what you are willing to do to entertain. It'll be within a framework of what you know you can do and want to do. Like you just said, you're not going to go DJ on Twitch. That's not your animal. But you definitely will go to someone's block party and stand there and go, look, everyone stay in your driveway. We're going to have some entertainment. And that to me, so many people would say, well, I don't want to do that. You know, I'm not willing to do that for free, or I'm not willing to go do that for less money, or what benefit is that going to have? You know, we live in this culture that it seems like everybody wants to know what's in it for them versus what's in it for you, man, is exposure and being seen and being noticed. Because then when the moment comes, the agent will call you or I'll give you an example that just happened to me. I got invited by a buddy of mine to come co-host an opening party to a conference up in, I guess it was in kind of Breckenridge area. And he said, hey, there's not much money in it. We're just going to do this bingo thing, but they really want something entertaining. Would you be willing to come? Now, most people, if they heard that are like you and I would go, yeah, I don't do that. I don't do that. I'm sorry. But I was like, you know, I got nothing going on that night. It's local. This guy's a friend of mine. I've entertained with him before. Let's go have some fun and do that. That sounds like a fun time. I just want to go. I want to entertain. I go there. We entertain. We create this whole new thing on the fly, which we improv called bonus bingo. If you answered a trivia question, you also got to perform and come on stage and win more prizes. Oh, by the way, there's still a bingo game going. It was the most fun. And the organizer of that event came up to us. It turns out she like books acts in Vegas. And she's like, hey, you guys, what you just did was really entertaining. And I'm like, see, that's why you don't have to have that outcome, but she was there and she was the part of it. The other outcome that was even better though, and I know you've experienced this, I want to hear some of your experiences, was the people that came up to us and said, we thought this was going to be boring. You guys made this an awesome time. We just had the best time. And one guy came up to me and said, I didn't think I was going to be laughing again for years after COVID. That was the most fun I've had in a long time. Those two things can happen simultaneously. But even if the one person hadn't said, oh, hey, I do shows in Vegas, it still would have been rewarding because of those people that were entertained. You know what I mean?
Yes. And what I love, if any lessons are going to take from this for our listeners, I think what people don't really do is flex their creativity muscles and trying to figure out, like, what can I do that's brand new and never seen before? And I think they don't look at what's already established and putting your own twist on it. Bingo, everybody does bingo, but do people do the Todd Mitchum, you know, the bonus bingo? Like, you, now you got my mind running. I'm like, I wonder what he did. I wonder how he got those people.
But I'll tell you all about it. Yeah, anytime. Yeah, yes, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, no,
because
I have to
do bingo
it here
as well. Right.
Yeah, so, okay, I'll tell you about it right now. I'll give you a brief because maybe somebody else can learn this. So basically what we did was bingo was just going to be a trivia bingo. So trivia would pop up on screen. This was designed for us. So I did not design this part. It was literally that trivia popped up. They had random answers. And then we would reveal the answers. And then that would be the trivia. That would be the bingo thing that you would mark off on your sheet with the big marker. So that was the basic framework that we were given. But what we said was, I walked in and I said, hey, here's what we got to do. Let's take the list, the You Choose contest, and let's take those categories and break them apart. And instead, every once in a while, instead of revealing the answer, we'll ask the first person to yell out the answer gets a chance to win an additional prize. So then we go, okay, 1, 2, 3. So they'd yell out the answer. And when they yelled out the answer, we go, oh, this guy right here. Okay, sir, stand up. What's your name? He would say it. And we would say, okay, so you have two choices. Either A, we can give you the other prize, the additional prize for performing, or you can pick someone at your table to come up on stage and perform for something else.
Yeah.
So this, we did this probably 10 times throughout the 2 hours we did this event. And this got so funny that one guy walked on stage and learned that he picked the number from 1 to 11. That number corresponded with an activity. And he said, and the activity was your best ballet dancing. And he goes, I'd like to pick the guy at my table. And he named this guy to come up and do that. And I'm like, oh, we call that the bingo switch. And I literally just said it on the fly. And so now then we had this bingo switch thing that came in where if you came up and learned the category, you could call out a bingo switch and switch with someone at your table. Rob, that happened in the moment. We didn't plan that. It became part of the game. And I think so that's kind of how it went. And then that went on throughout the night. And then, you know, it's first of all, it stretched two bingo games into 2 hours, which was crazy. And they had the best time laughing, singing. It was a blast. And so that was fun. But it goes back to what you said. And I want you to kind of elaborate on this, though, because I see comedians do this. Famous comedians always go and practice their act at some small club somewhere because they're not afraid to fail there. They don't want to fail on their Netflix special, right? And I think entertainers in our space forget that they need to be practicing at an event that maybe is free or a Cancer Society event or doing their own virtual game show thing. Because if they don't, they're not going to learn, right?
Right. And what I did, and I love all that bingo stuff. Now you got me thinking about it, and we could even build upon that as more, is what I did is I was gearing up for Christmas of 2020, right? Or the holiday season. And I had all these virtual game shows ready to go, but I still wanted to test out new material and try new material. So what did I do is I put out onto Facebook, I said, hey, this Thanksgiving season, you may not be with family. So I'm offering virtual game shows for families all over the country. My schedule is limited. And so I did it for $1.50, right? I didn't do it for free because I wanted to actually get some value and also people who are willing to pay for it and include their family. So it was a very, you know, inexpensive show. And I did 6 shows that day. I said to my wife, I'm like, I'm going to make some money today. Are you okay with me doing these game shows? She says, yes. And I worked on my material that day when the stakes weren't as high. And some people are like, well, you can't do that. You got to practice. But you got to do crowd work. And I think the thing that we do really well is crowd work. My thing is playing off of a crowd. You can get so much material by just poking and prodding your people. And they are your entertainers. And so I think what I really found out is making the show about them, bringing people onto the stage instead of just like, I am the show, we are the show.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I love that about you, that you're willing to practice. You're willing to go out and try stuff. That was what COVID, if I was summarizing you in COVID, it was like, I am so impressed with how Rob is just trying as many things as he can to work on his craft. It was just incredible. And then you did that with speaking too, didn't you? Didn't you do some things with virtual presentations as well? Were you doing both?
Yeah. I've done some keynoting and I've emceed. I think the thing I really enjoyed was emceeing because I was the glue between everything. So
that's awesome.
Being able to start things off with music. So I was... And the thing is, I was able to use my whole skill set in a lot of these events where I'm DJing as people are coming into the Zoom room and I'm like, hey, welcome. We're going to be doing this. And then I do a game and then we go to break and I DJ during break. And then I do a game coming out of the break and I'm introducing. And then I would, some of these events, I would conclude with my keynote or I'd start with a keynote or I'd do a micro keynote, like a 10-minute connection piece. And so we have so many different skill sets and I was able to use a lot of them for a variety of events. And that's what I really enjoyed. Also, I was able to use a lot of these skills and ideas and then apply them to in-person events. And so that's the cool thing is now I'm taking some of these virtual aspects and putting them in. And just on the point of doing things for free or just trying things out, I just did an event at Salt Lake Comic Con, which is called FanX. Here in Salt Lake City. And I did 2 game shows that day. And I had a lot of learning moments. I wouldn't say I hit it out of the park, but I learned a lot of things. And I learned a lot of things not on my dime, not on somebody else's dime, because they weren't paying me. But right. I went there and I tested these things out and I found out what failed. My wife was in the audience. She said, "You were kind of rude to that little girl." And I was like, I was rude, right? And so, like, you know, just to give you the example, like, why was I rude to somebody? Well, what happened was is the technology wasn't working. And I basically said,
"That's frustrating."
Well, that's your problem, not mine, kind of. And she was like, "You're a jerk about that." And I was like, she texted me and I saw that and I was like, "Yeah, I apologize if the technology's not working for you. We're just trying to thank you for your patience." And so I kind of backtracked. But right. I was able to learn, don't depend on technology, or this won't work here, this works here. And I found the sweet spot within that, within those game shows. And I'm like, okay, this is boring, this is engaging, this works, this doesn't. And so sometimes those free events are the best way to start working on your craft, your engagement, post, whatever it may be.
Yeah, that is so true. And it's funny, I was going to ask you another question about how you maintain Happy Rob on stage now, but I can see that it still gets you sometimes. So that's good.
It still comes out.
It gets me too. It's okay. You know, I do have a question for you though, because you've made a pivot also into speaking more mainstream presentations outside of the DJ world, which is great.
Yes.
But I personally have done that. And I know there's a lot that changes when you do that. A lot of assumptions you make that aren't there and that don't work out. You know, there's so many things I could go through. But what did you find? What was your biggest challenge? So like when you pivoted and like the first time or the first few times you spoke in front of a corporate situation, what hit you the hardest? What was the biggest shock?
So what's interesting is you can't just be entertaining, right? Like our entertainment really maybe gets us our foot in the door. But what I'm experiencing even right now is trying to have those big takeaway moments. You want people looking down at their notepad and just notes, or those moments where they get their phones out and they start taking pictures of the slides, right? I like to have that balance. And so I'm still trying to find what are my huge takeaways? How am I challenging people to become more? I think a lot of people don't realize who are kind of getting into speaking and amateur speakers or people who speak in industry conferences. And that's what I started. If you are an expert on something, start speaking at industry events. And that's what
I did. Absolutely. Yeah, you did.
And that's how it all started for me, was speaking at the Las Vegas DJ show that we shared stages, not particularly with, but speaking on a topic, but having those moments where people take those moments and start writing them down, but having engagement pieces, making it about your audience, not about you completely, and don't do death by slideshow, right? People are just reading their slides. You know, I can give you tons of things, but these are things that I learned along the way, but also watching others. I think sometimes people or entertainers figure out like, oh, I could do that better. No, think about what did that person do that you could implement, or what did they do that engaged you? And so I try and put in education with engagement and making it about the audience. What are the outcomes that they're going to get from my presentation?
Yeah, and I noticed I watched your demo video, and it was a while ago, but I there was a part in there where you were talking about what you've taken, which I thought was brilliant, what you've taken from entertainment and brought into the business world. And I think that's and you talk about Universal and you talk about these other things, but I thought that was a really interesting pivot, because you're trying to help people understand that the lessons are universal. You know, the things that I've learned here apply to your world as leaders or whatever. And you're right, there is a different substance level you have to be at with the corporate space, right?
Yeah. And sometimes I'm always second guessing myself. But a good friend of mine and another mentor, his name's Phil Gerbyshek, and he says, Here's the deal. You know, Phil's an awesome person. He's just like, Rob, don't compare yourself. I'm always in the comparison game. And that's one of the things that's a problem with me, is I'm always like, oh, he can do this, must be nice. Got that from Jason and Kim Kotecki, and they presented at NSA in Las Vegas talking about everybody's doing their must be nice. Must be nice to be like Todd Mitchum, tall and handsome and just super quick-witted and knows exactly how to engage. Must be nice, right? Don't focus on somebody else's must be nices and, right. and think, what is Todd's must be nice that I can learn from, right? And so... Yeah. I think sometimes we are looking at those must be nices or looking at what other people are doing and wishing we could do that. And so for me, it's more about learning, embracing my must be nice and knowing that I have a unique perspective. That's why they hired me. It's like, right. okay, it's like, and now I'm doing a keynote based on my perspective of leadership through the lens of an entertainer. As an entertainer, how do I lead people or how do I see people leading others to be engaged? And it's called Be the First One on the Dance Floor. So
yeah, I love that. Yeah, I saw that in your demo. That was really good. And so I have a question for you. I want to go over to marketing for a minute because you were talking about self-promotion. Yeah. You talk about like, it's funny you said that of what you just mentioned because I've done that before when I've looked at other high-end speakers and I've said, well, it must be nice, same thing you've said, to have... unlimited Google AdWords money, you know, that if I were Tony Robbins, yeah, I would also be dropping $50,000 a month on Google AdWords, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating because that's not actually how he got where he is. He got where he is in a lot of ways doing what you're doing, which is a self-promotion, no ego way to get out there and just say, hey, I'm here to do this. I'm here to help. I'm here to give. I'm here to be a part of something. But you do a self-promotion thing really well. Do you have like a series of steps? I mean, this could maybe really help some people because are you more like, and this drives my wife crazy. I'm more like, this morning I woke up and had coffee and thought, here are 10 things I want to do. Where my wife's like, we need to put this into a structure and it needs to be listed out. And she makes me do that. If not, I would just wing it every day and it would show. Right. So I'm just wondering, do you have a structure like that or are you on the fly kind of in the moment or do you think marketing through? Do you really put a lot of thought into it?
So it's interesting because marketing has really evolved. Like everything is online, right? Or word of mouth. I play the long game. I play a couple of different things. One is the relationship game. I think I've gotten to where I am today because of relationships. I go to industry conferences. I'm part of associations. I go to events. I make friendships. I offer my services. I think that's one thing. And I've been doing that with NSA for years. Once I found my NSA tribe, which is the National Speakers Association, I was able to level up. Once I went years ago when I first met Paul Helms at my first DJ association meeting, I leveled up because he was able to mentor me. And I think that's really important is people to find mentors who can they can be inspired by and learn from. So one is the relationship game. Two is the social media game. And I don't see enough entertainers utilizing LinkedIn. What? LinkedIn? What's that? Right? And the one of the people that does it the best, and if you don't know him, his name is Jeff Civilico. He is a LinkedIn champion. He does such a good job of self-promotion, but also giving value. And I've also learned that from Phil as well. How do we give value on LinkedIn instead of making about me, me, me? Like, this is what I've learned. Here's some tips, right? So those are some of the ways I market. And then just having a great website and having a landing page that makes you look legit. So all these things that I have, these assets, it's because I'm watching other people, not necessarily like my competition, but people I want to aspire to be. So the people that I am always looking up to is Jeff Civilico, Jason Hewlett, John Petz. These are guys who are doing what I want to do. What are they doing right? Right. And if I have a relationship with those people, all three of those people have sent me gigs beyond gigs. Right. And so my biggest problem right now is trying to figure out the best way to say thank you. But they also like that they know that this is taken care of. Mm. So I don't really have a good marketing strategy as far as I'm in the relationship game and then I build it out from there. And now that I found the sweet spot within agencies and them representing me, that's been huge for me. Huge.
Yeah.
And
I think you touched on something, Rob, that I think is important. Yeah. You said relationship. And I think that's something I noticed. I've seen it even with this initiative with Mitchum Interactive and other things of speaking. The game has changed around how people used to market. It used to just be throw it up or talk about yourself. But now I've noticed people do want a value add, you know, and it's counterintuitive because you think, well, if I give away a bunch of free content, then they're not going to buy what I have. But the truth is that that's not actually how it works at all. They build a relationship.
You don't have a lot of content.
Right. Exactly. They build a relationship with you and then they trust you and then they'll work with you or they'll buy your thing or whatever it is. And that's, isn't that really how it works now? I mean, that's what you're, it seems like you're doing.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's really important. You were talking about content and giving away for free. And the thing is, if you clutch your pearls, if you're not giving it away or helping others, it's just not going to work for you. And people value somebody who is willing to help others and expand that. And so what I did, also being a niche, being a unicorn within your own tribe, I had so many referrals in 2020 from other DJs. Why were they referring me? Because they don't do what I do. Oh, you need a game show host? Call Rob. I don't do that. You need somebody who does virtual? I don't do that. Call Rob, right? And so that is how I got a lot of business. But it's years of just being that person and putting that out into the world. I think if you do a thing, put that out. I just did this Zoom event like this morning, right? I performed for Zoom. Like I did an event on Zoom for Zoom.
Zoom. That's right? Pretty cool.
And last week I did an event for LinkedIn and I posted on LinkedIn that I did an event for LinkedIn, right? And so sometimes I don't use all these. Sorry, let me backtrack. One of my strategies now is I have learned from a speaker, her name is Erin King, and don't make it about me completely. Oh, look at me. I did this amazing event for LinkedIn, right? I now use a lot of you speech in the sense of, imagine you get to work for a dream company that you get to use day in, day out. That company for me today was LinkedIn, right? And so for you, Todd Mitchum, you're going to promote this podcast. You are looking for the opportunities to become a better entertainer. I have learned throughout the years, you can't do it alone. And I know you can do it with me, whatever. And so now they're like going, yeah. I've had those experiences. And so now that's you're putting your audience into the show instead of being so like, cool. me. And so that's really changed a lot for me as well. Along with Use It. And I imagine that's part of Mitchum Interactive is the Use It.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Use It is a big part of it. It's a mentality, right? I mean, just going with it. You know, what you just said there really resonates with me too, because I've noticed, and I think TikTok, I look at these macro trends as well, and I think TikTok's had a lot to do with this. TikTok has created an environment where everything better be funny or interesting or something, or I'm not going to watch it. And it better happen real quick. You don't have 5 minutes. You got like 5 seconds or less. And you better, we talk about this in presentation skills training all the time, that look, you don't have 30 seconds or a minute. You've got less than 10 seconds to get somebody's attention. And I think what you're saying is so valuable in your marketing scheme is you're posting something that matters to me, the reader, versus you, the poster. And I think that's what changes it, right?
Yes. And with TikTok, start examining how people are making it about you in TikTok. And some of my favorite people, there's this like physician, I forget, or a doctor who gives you tips. And he just does the thing where he points to the little bubbles and he's like, hey, next time you have a headache, you should do this, this, and this.
Right.
And making about then, you may have met him this summer. His name is DJ Eric Rhodes. If you don't know Eric.
Yeah,
Rhodes,
I know Eric. Wonderful. I know Eric. Yeah.
Wonderful person. He's exploded on TikTok because one, he creates these fun mixes. So he'll show you, he's like, hey, watch how you can mix from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air to Getting Jiggy With It, whatever. And he shows you how to do it. But one, DJs love it because they're now getting ideas. Two, people just like, oh, this is a cool blend. I'm loving this mashup. And two, three, he's very charismatic, you know?
Yeah.
He smiles into the camera, he engages it, he looks at the camera. So watch what Eric does and see how he's blown up. And I think that's really important for people to see how others are engaging. And it's, stop. Look at that video and go, why did I stop my scroll? What was it about the scroll?
That's right.
Right? And so what
locked me up, right? Joey, Joey Zane is another guy that does that. Have you seen Joe's thing with the hat backwards? And okay, so he's the same thing. He's got a hat backwards, green behind him. And he's like, okay, somebody wanted me to mix these two songs. Here we go. And he'll do it. And he'll just be like, you know, that's his thing. There, it's 20 seconds. 40
I've seen
seconds.
That guy. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like stupid, ridiculous things. And also taking requests. This is what I also talk about in my keynote. Are we taking requests? And I think so many DJs are like, no, I don't take requests. Like they have so much pride that I'm doing what I want to do. Mm. And so when you have that world of club DJs who are just open format, who are used to doing their thing, going into doing private events, corporate events, and making it about themselves and not making it about the audience and taking those requests. Of course, not all requests are equal, right? But I had this challenge the other night where I had 10 terrible requests that didn't match my format, but I still did it and it still went off. And you never know what's going to pop and what's not. So you take requests and it's going to pop. And if it doesn't, you mix right out of it.
That's awesome. All right, Rob, any last minute advice for all of our DJ, MC, entertainer, speaker, whoever friends are listening? Anything?
Yeah.
What has Rob learned in the last few years that he needs the world to hear?
It's not the few years, the last 10. I've been in business 15 years and I didn't get into business to be in business. And I think the one best thing that I did was starting to learn immediately from others and not mimicking and not being like a parrot and being like, okay. And I think a lot of MCs, entertainers, DJs are too transfixed on maybe gear, right? They look at a piece of gear and like, oh, I need to buy that. Your performance trumps your gear. Mm. Your gear is just a vehicle. So if you can have an amazing performance, your gear is only secondary to what you do. And so start learning, finding people, reach out to people. And if it's Todd, reach out to Todd and say, hey, do you do one-on-one coaching? Or I want to take your course. Okay, I've completed your course. What's the next level? Todd at this point may be like, oh, I haven't thought about that. But Todd in his head saying, yes, coaching, right? You know, so sometimes we're making it up as we go. And I'm not saying
we're creating on the fly. Yeah.
Exactly. But I think surrounding yourself with the right people. And I went to Southern Utah University and their mantra or motto is learning lives forever. I think too many people just plateau.
That is
awesome.
They
just stop learning. I am always learning and I will never stop.
That's awesome, Rob. Learning lives forever. I'm going to remember that. That's really good.
Yeah.
Well, Rob Frey, I appreciate you, buddy. You are an incredible inspiration to a lot of people and me included. So great work on everything you're doing. And I hope we get to hear more from you in the coming months and years. And, you know, you might end up in Vegas or like doing your own show somewhere on television. You should be running your own game show on television or something. I'm telling you, you've got it all.
It would be a lot of fun. That's why I created my own game show. I was like, you know what? Nobody's going to hire me. I'm going to hire myself.
I'm going to create my own
bet
show.
On myself.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's one way to stay employed. Just hire yourself. I like that.
Exactly.
It's good. Rob, good to see you, buddy. Take care.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to The Entertainer Lab with Mitchum Interactive. Hey, we drop a new podcast every Monday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. And we hope you'll tune in every week as we bring in different guests from not only inside the entertainer, DJ, and MC world, but outside of that world to really add insights on how to better your life,
your business and your performance. By the way, if you haven't joined yet, I don't know what you're waiting for, because inside our membership at MitchumInteractive.com, you get access to all kinds of learning in the areas of life, business, and performance. And this is learning that never expires. We drop brand new learning and add to the library of what's available to you every week. So as you join the membership and start to learn, you are never going to run out of opportunities to continue to grow and learn in those specific areas. So I encourage you to join MitchumInteractive.com today. It's a monthly membership, or you can pay annually and save a little bit of money. Either way, your transformation is waiting for you inside Mitchum Interactive. And I appreciate you. We'll see you next week on the show. Remember, new podcast episode drops every Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, anywhere you get podcasts.